Kingmaker, Broken Faith. It is the hour before noon on the second day after St. Luke's, late in the month of October, and in the grey light slanting through the castle's kitchen doorway, Catherine inspects the small, skinned body of an animal lying on the scrubbed oak table. The animal is gutted, headless, and footless.
"Rabbit, milady," Ilby's wife tells her. "Husband caught it this morning, out near the cold half-hundred drain."
Catherine knows the cold half-hundred drain, and she knows Ilby, who sits with his broad back turned on her, eating his bread so that she can hear him chewing. He says nothing, doesn't even grunt, but his brawny shoulders are up and she can see he is waiting for something, so she prizes open the narrow trap of the animal's ribs and counts. She makes it 13 pairs. "Not a rabbit," she says. "A cat." Ilby stops his chewing. His wife holds Catherine's stare for a moment, then drops her gaze to the rushes and rubs her swollen belly. She must be nearly ready now, Catherine thinks, and must be frightened of what is to come. Her husband swallows his bread.
"It's a rabbit,"
he says without turning his head. There are creases of pale skin in the dirty fat of his neck.
"As wife told you, killed it meself."
Catherine knows she still seems odd to them, an interloper in a good dress, small, thin, with her hat pulled down to hide her ear and her already sharp features honed by sorrow and privation. But it has been like this ever since she arrived at Cornford Castle, more than a year before, since the first time she led Richard Fakenham on his horse over the two bridges and in through the gatehouse to take possession of her late supposed father's property. The curtain walls had seemed taller then, rough grey stone, stained with damp even in the summer months, weeds growing from every crevice and all sorts of filth underfoot. Ilby's wife stood on an unswept step of the kitchen, washing beetle in hand, while unfed dogs snarled on chains and the air was sour with the smell of their waste.
"What is it?"
Richard had asked, wrinkling his nose. Ilby's wife had stared at his bandaged eyes and then looked away, quickly crossing herself and whispering some prayer.
"A welcome," Catherine has told him. "Of sorts."
"Where is everyone?" he'd asked.
"Dead,"
someone had answered. This had been Ilby, the castle's reeve, emerging from the lower door of the gatehouse from where he'd been watching them cross the fen. She'd disliked him from the moment she saw him, broad and squat, with fleshy ears and small, mean eyes. And neither did he like her.
"Dead?" she'd asked.
"Aye,"
Ilby had said.
"Every man save myself went north with Sir Giles Riven, and we've given up on him coming home now."
Ilby had said this as if it was somehow her fault, as if she, Catherine, had been responsible for their deaths, but she had ignored him and had taken a moment to look around at the castle, to note the accretion of filth, the dilapidation of the stone, the rot in the wood. There were jackdaws in the roof and a bush of some sort springing from between the stones up by the crenellations. Apart from the new stone badge of Riven's crows that had been put in place of the old Cornford arms, she supposed, the castle looked to have been falling to pieces for some time. It was strange to see how little it had been valued by Riven while Sir John Fakenham and his son Richard had spent so much time, energy and blood to acquire it. She had not thought it would be like this, nor had Richard.